Public School meeting. Today is May 9th, 2023. The time is 7 p.m. Could we have roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Present.
Mr. Heck.
Present.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Here. Could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Shaw, are there any additions or deletions,
yes,
to the agenda this evening?
So tonight we would ask to add new business item B3M, which is emergency evacuation patient transfer agreements. And that will be a discussionary item.
Okay. Can I get a motion?
So moved to adapt the agenda as stated.
Second.
Support.
Second.
I'll support that.
Okay. We have roll call, please, Jamie.
Emergency evacuation.
Emergency evacuation.
Patient transfer agreement.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes. Motion carries. That brings us to superintendent comments. Mr. Shaw.
All right. So we have Waterloo Elementary here tonight. Oh, come on, kids. There we go. All right. Mrs. Gibson.
Thank you for the invitation, Mr. Shaw. We appreciate you inviting us here tonight. I brought with me tonight school improvement coach Vanya Steele and two students from Waterloo who are on the board of delegates, Caleb Tigner and Connor Crowley. So what we would like to just express to you tonight is kind of a little glimpse into what Waterloo is all about. So we have a brief presentation and we'll talk through that. And then if there are any questions, we'd love to entertain those as well. So one of the pieces that the Waterloo staff has worked really hard to put together is the vision of what a Waterloo STEAM student is. So we've created some competencies, some experiences, and skills and knowledge that we hope that all Waterloo students have once they're done with their time with us at Waterloo. The other cool thing I think about Waterloo is we have taken the MPS inquiry cycle and made it a cyclical part of our business at Waterloo. We use this cycle four times a year where we support students with immersion, research, coalescence, and the opportunity to go public with their learning. In September through December, we go through that cycle with our holiday STEAM shop. And then one of my favorite is the career inquiry projects that go from December to February. And thank you, Mr. Heck, for coming to our career inquiry day. That was great to see you there. That's one of my favorite days of the year. Then February through April, we work on our Generation E. We go through the cycle with Generation E, Young Entrepreneur, which is what the focus of what the kids will talk about tonight. And then we end it in May and June with a passion project that they go through. The students go through the cycle again, and our Go Public piece with that launches with a summer learning kind of fair, STEAM fair extravaganza for family engagement night, which this year is on the 1st of June. We also support students with the engineering and design process. We know that sometimes when you create something, it doesn't always go as planned, so we want to prepare students to be able to go back and redo or retool or rethink what they're working on with a engineering and design cycle. So what you have in front of you is just some glimpses of this year and years past of our kids experiencing those inquiry cycles in action. Most of these are from the go public phase of the inquiry cycle. However, there are some from the immersion phase. The top three pictures was our career day immersion, where we immerse kids in careers from all over the county. We even utilized the expertise of the CTE program at Monroe High, and they came and showed our kids what they have to offer. So then the bottom parts are the go public pieces of different cycles from our year. Okay, and now I would like to introduce Connor Crowley and Caleb Tigner, who are going to talk you through the next piece.
adult messy hand researcher on the staff. I love this part of our days together. So these two gentlemen, when we were talking about how we would represent Waterloo and what we wanted you to know, what we wanted all of Monroe Public Schools to know, is that Waterloo is about student voice and choice. You'll see that in the projects that they present. We anchor our work in the high quality instruction, which is connectedness to the world. Everything you see here, we brought some artifacts, are real kid-made things from young five through sixth grade. Teamwork, we took a survey, you'll see that in a minute. We're about advertising, production, sales. And these gentlemen will talk after they, in a little while, about a new piece that they invented, which is a student survey. We started with four through six, so we're really interested in getting student feedback. I'm here year four, and every year we've made something new, and we really are interested in what the kids want. It's great to be a driver of all this fun madness, but it's all about them. So gentlemen, tell them about Jenny and Steam Shop.
So I would like to present our Gen E and Steam Shop. So some of our ideas, we had to come up with ideas for us to make our projects and all that. And then we had to come up with our partners, and then we all had to agree on what we needed, that we wanted to make and all that stuff. There was two to three in a group. We also made posters. We got to, we made posters to where we would, so people would know what our, like, our thing that we're selling is and that. And our prices, at the end, we made the prices for our product, and we all had to create our prices that would be a fair price to everybody.
My name is Caleb, and I would like to talk about our Gen E. And first, I would like to talk about my team. And my team had three people. And my project was shields and helmets, but made with cardboard instead of real shields. So this is one of my things I made for the littles. And I forget. And I got the idea because me and my friends really like, times where shields were most commonly used, like the ancient, medieval, and stuff like that. And next, I would like to talk about, let me find it here. Steam Shop. So Steam Shop is a thing where people come and buy the things that people made from Gen E. And also, and we use it, instead of real dollars, we use Wally Bucks, which is Steam Shop Bucks, though. So.
As you can see at Waterloo, there's no job that we won't do. We're good. That was amazing. The survey. Did we skip that?
Yeah.
Okay. So some of the things about the survey that we asked were if they worked in a team, and we noticed that 93% of the students surveyed decided to work with a team, which I think is pretty amazing if given the choice to go. Oh, 96.3 to be exact. Perfect. It was really close. The other thing that the gentleman thought was important was getting the feedback of whether or not the teams liked the product. And we got a lot of really good feedback around where they got their ideas. Some people decided that they liked what other people made last year, so they rebooted it. In the feedback part, it was really interesting because it was things like
I might have picked a different team, or I might have just picked a different product. So we're hoping that as this continues, that we'll have a lot more advice to give to the future Waterloo Wildcats. And that was anything else?
Yes.
Oh, and our products. We just brought a couple of products to show you, so they're there. And last but not least, one of my favorite projects is the 21st CLCC. So this is our fourth year. We have our five-year grant. So we've really taken it into our whole Waterloo STEAM project. This is our second year partnering with the River Raisin Institute, and we have now been in two climate change summits. So the young five through sixth graders after school, we currently have 34 students enrolled, and the enrollment's flexible, but we are there from 3:30 to 6 p.m. We have an amazing staff, and what's really cool is that it's important for us to impart to the youth that Monroe is a very specific and important part of not only the global community, but because of our fresh water, we really want everyone here to know that every moment of every day, what we do on the planet affects not just humans, but little creatures down to amphibians. So this was really fun this year. They did the amphibian project. The kids made toad abodes. And our frog armature was on display at the Earth Day Expo, but it's now at the Historical Museum, so if you get a chance to go and see. We're really proud of all the work, and we thank you for supporting us. And gentlemen, anything else? Okay. You want to show them? Yeah. So we just had a couple things. Calming bottles?
Yeah, it's like one of these. It's like a bunch of glitter.
In our conversations with the kids, when they ask me what should we buy, and I say, well, what do you think I would spend money on? So we had some bath bombs. Like, don't forget, teachers have a little extra change with you as well. Our young five kindergartners made water bottles and had lemonade packets with it, and they decorated them. And then these were the toad abodes that the kids from the 21st CLCC program made. So these are going home for Mother's Day. Don't tell them.
Bless you.
Wonderful.
Well,
wonderful. We truly appreciate all you guys coming, boys. Great job tonight. Love seeing you, Mrs. Gibson. It's got a lot going on over there, and love seeing these projects. And so thank you. If we can just give them a hand for... So to my boys, you don't have to stay unless you really like to. So, and to their family. There is nothing else for this section of my comments.
All right. Public commentary on board agenda items only. Do we have any, Darla?
No, not. They'll be for the other one, though.
Okay. That brings us to the board discussion of action items. Acceptance of reports. We have contractual service reports. Are there any discussions? Hearing none, we'll move on. Let's see. Next, we have the consent agenda. Can I get a motion?
I'll move to accept the consent agenda and the items on it and approve them as recommended.
Support?
Support.
Can we have a roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes. That takes us to...
1 second. So we did have four staff appointments. Are any of our staff members here tonight?
I am not sure. I don't see any. I see a lot of assistants in the audience. Is there one? Are there any new...
There's a father.
A father?
Oh. Proud father.
you want to do some introductions? Oh, I know. It's a father. Olivia was hired. Yes. Is Olivia here?
I don't think she is.
I don't see her. Okay. We don't have any of them present, but we do really like for them to come so they can be greeted by the Board of Education, but we do not have any tonight.
Thank you.
I believe that takes us to resignations.
New business.
Oh, yes, it does. Next on the agenda is new business action discussionary items, and that would be, let's see, the ratification of the assistance contract. Can I get a motion?
Hold on one second. Mrs. Flynn needs to talk about it first.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Why don't you go ahead and talk about that?
Thank you. I would just like to say that it's my honor today to bring this contract forward, the master agreement for the assistants. This group of people are really some of the hardest working individuals that we have in our district, and it was a pleasure working with them. They had a team of maybe 10 individuals. Usually that presents a problem because everyone has their own ideas of what they think should be negotiated on, and this group came together with a thoughtful proposal the first time and just really did look out for the best for all of their group. And I commend them for that. So hopefully we will have the motion to move to ratify the master agreement for July 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2026 between the Monroe Assistance Group and the Monroe Board of Education effective July 1st, 2023. And if you just take notice, this is a 3-year contract.
So can I get a motion?
So moved.
Support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, could we have the roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Hatt.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. That brings us to the PA system. Mr. Payne.
Thank you, President Zimmerman. We're asking the board to move to approve the purchase of the Velcom public address system from Red Letter Productions at a cost not to exceed $698,125. This purchase will be funded by the sinking fund budget.
Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Support?
Support.
Discussion? Hearing none?
I guess
go ahead.
I have a couple.
Hey, Larry, can you talk into your mic?
Oh, sorry. I have a couple problems. Number one, this is what we just voted down 2 weeks ago. I mean, for some reason, it just strikes me wrong is that apparently we're voting wrong or something. But, I mean, you know, a lot of times I'm on the end that doesn't prevail. You just accept it and you move on because that's the good of the organization. So I really have a problem with, you know, just bringing this up time after time, the same motion. It just seems wrong. But getting back to the other thing that I have a problem with is that I really hate taking it out of the sinking fund. We did tell the people that on the bond project that one of the things that we may use your money for is on a PA system, and that passed. So everybody was on board with that. I have no problem. So if we would take it out of the bond fund, that's logical. We have $3.6 million. We have the capacity of doing that. The other thing that I'm a little bit worried about is on the sinking fund, we still don't have a priority list. In other words, what do we think is most important, less important, et cetera, going on down the list? For example, if we think that there's roofs that need to be repaired, maybe we think that that's a higher priority than a PA system. Or if we think asbestos removal is more important, then we might want to use our sinking fund for that better. But until we have a priority list, it's hard to come up with a rational decision on what we want to spend our money for. I note that when we did have the bond, one of the things that the voters did tell us, they would approve the PA system, but they would not approve, for example, they were not in favor of any pools, they were not in favor of any athletic fields, and I think probably pretty soon both of those items are going to be coming up. And if the voters tell us for the bond reasons, we're not
in favor of using the bond money for the pool, nor the bleachers, part of the athletic field, where are we going to take the money from? I would assume we'll take it from the sinking fund. But if we drain all our sinking fund out, what do we have left? So, like I say, I think we really, number one, have to set some kind of priority list like we used to do. What's the most important, number one? Second important, number two? And the third tier is something that's discretionary. We really should do that first. After that, if we come back and bring this motion, that's fine. But time-wise, it's really not good. And again, I like to see, keep our sinking fund on things that we should really be using it for, like the buildings and things of that sort. And like I say, if we want to use it for the pool, which is could be over $1 million, we've heard a quote on that. We can't take that out of the bond fund, or we really shouldn't, because again, we told the people that we shouldn't take it out of the bond funds, and they
we can't take it out of the bond fund.
So yeah, and that's we'd have to take out of the sinking fund. Same thing with our bleachers. I mean, we have a child that's, you know, incapable. I mean, he's disabled. He can't get on the bleachers. He's in our band, but you know, we really can't give him the services he needs because of the bleachers.
Well, we should probably pull it back to what we're looking at here is PA system.
Yeah, right. Because again, the athletic field's not approved for bond, but it could be taken out of our sinking fund. So again, if we're draining all the sinking fund, we're not going to have anything left to do the things that maybe people would like us to do. Mm-hmm. So that's why I really don't like. So those two reasons.
I was just going to say I'm grateful that it's coming up for another consideration, because I feel like tonight in our work session there was a lot of really valuable information presented that wasn't given to us prior to our vote a few weeks ago. So I'm appreciative to have much more information about exactly what this PA system will look like, how it will function in our schools, how it will benefit school safety, how it will help office, teachers, staff have better communication throughout their day. So I don't feel like it's coming back just to come back. I feel like there was more information presented so that we can make a decision.
Scott?
Lori, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think my concerns are I'd like to see it brought back with a within the context of a facilities management plan. I'd also like to see some investigation done into other options, wireless options, so forth, see if there are some less expensive options out there. It does seem like a whole lot of money. I'm not opposed to it. Thank you for the presentation. I thought the presentation was excellent, and I do think it serves a very positive purpose. I just don't think we need to rush to judgment on this particular one within the context of having a facilities management plan and a little bit more information still.
Darla?
I talked a lot about this project in the previous time that it came up to vote, and I talked a lot about it in the past work session. I had a list of reasons and concerns. Some were considered not valid. Some were considered valid. I don't believe that there was new information that was presented this evening. I think that the information that presented was the same information that was available. We just probably didn't see some of it. So I do think that I don't like to operate in a way that we're not systematically looking, like Larry said, in the way that we're utilizing the funds. That is a big part of what we do on the board, is how are these funds being utilized? Let's be the best fiscal that we can. And I don't think a delay in a project in order to become fiscally responsible is problematic.
Carrie?
I'm not sure that I have a popular opinion in this matter, but I believe that this communication is about school safety. And I think that our schools, our teachers, our administrators, our students need this type of system in the school building for their safety.
I just want to make sure that we're clear if we can. our not voting on this tonight does not mean that our students are not safe. They're currently safe under the current system that we have, right? And they're not any less safe tomorrow if we don't pass this. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, in 30 days, they'll be out for 3 months.
I just don't want people to think that if we don't pass this, the kids are not going to be safe tomorrow.
I would say that the if we don't make, let's just say we don't make a decision this evening and we come back and get more information, that there is going to be a delay. It would not be ready for the start of school. So, I mean, and the well, I respect your comment, Mr. Behrens, on the wireless or something else. Part of the reason we really want to get this done within that three-year period is so the system is similar. It's used, no matter what building you go to, it's common. It works throughout the whole ecosystem the same. If one of our concerns when we first talked to DECA and Kohler at the beginning, my push was whatever we do, try to do it in a span where it's equal across the buildings and similar. Because if we did it year one, let's say, and then we waited till year four, there's a possibility that those systems would, even by the same manufacturer, could be different. So you might run into issues with, you know, compatibility. One system might support it, one might not. And then just the difference of usage between buildings. That's the only reason we really wanted to get a similar system.
Is the system going to be defunct in a couple of years?
It wouldn't be defunct, but it may be different.
Oh, so it wouldn't be compatible.
I think it's
a possibility.
Yeah.
I think it's important to note that the system is already in place in many of our school buildings. Yeah. This proposal tonight is to get the other buildings up to par.
Tom?
Yeah, I'm kind of mixed feelings. A couple of things I agree with. David, my job when I was working in the auto industry was to standardize. And it's very important because then you don't have multiple spare parts. You don't have multiple training or multiple vendors you're dealing with. So whatever we go with, I think we need to go with what we have already in our buildings for that reason. I do have a little bit of angst with it being from the sinking fund. I agree with Larry. I think this would be better coming out of the bond fund and saving our money in the sinking fund. And at a minimum, at least at this time, I'd like to see it into the middle school. I'm not sure Fenmore Labs or the Knabush Center is a real high priority, but certainly the middle school, I think, should be considered maybe separately with the bond fund.
With that in mind, I'd like to make a motion to table this until such times as we had the opportunity to come up, like Dr. Behrens said, with a list probably from our architect in regards to priorities and needs and things of that sort. That would be my motion.
Is there support for this motion?
I support.
Second?
That is the second.
I'm sorry.
I can say second. Sorry.
Jamie, could we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Williams?
No.
Mrs. Vincent?
No.
Mr. Van Wachenova?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Hatt?
Yes.
Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
No. Your motion passes. Okay. Playground mulch purchase. Mr. Payne.
Yeah, we're asking the board to move to approve the purchase of mulch from Jack's Lawn Service at a cost not to exceed $15,750. This will be funded by the operations budget.
Can we get a motion?
So moved.
Support?
I'll support that.
Go ahead. Any discussion?
You know, I know like a lot of the rec departments are going to the rubberized ones. And I know we've been talking about this for years, but like at the state park, they have those. I wonder if we should maybe take a look at that, even though I know the cost is greater. And maybe we could phase those into different schools throughout the years.
We could look at that when we do the assessment. I know we're going to be doing weekly walks with Kohler, and that's something we could put on the list to look at what that cost difference would be. Yeah.
I know the cost difference is pretty much Dave, but it seems like the counties, for example, I mean, we're saving a lot of money there, so something that we might want to look at. The legacy cost is great.
Yeah, that's what Trinity has.
Yeah, a lot of them are doing that now.
discussion?
Did you want to do anything?
No, I mean, okay. I mean, we can't, as a matter of fact, I know we can't get the supplies before this school year, so I think we have to do that this year. Okay. But I mean, I think, you know, because I think the county, it took us like 6 months to get that stuff.
Yeah, it took
a while. So, you know, it's something I think we should look at for next year.
Only because there was a motion and a second on the table.
Right.
Okay, right. Thank you.
We have a roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes.
Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Yes, and the motion passes. Let's see, Custer Arborwood carpet purchase, Mr. Payne.
Yes, we're asking the board to approve the purchase of carpet from Runyon's Home Decorating at a cost not to exceed $81,478. This purchase will be funded by the sinking fund budget.
Can we get a motion?
I'll move to purchase the carpet from Runyon's Home
Support.
Decorating.
Support.
Discussion?
This is something that I've always had questions about. Teaching at an elementary school for as long as I did, carpet is not a great surface, especially for lower L. So like, as you mentioned earlier, if we could, during one of the walkabouts with Kohler, kind of talk about how we could put tile or some other hard surface in our highest traffic areas, I think that would be really helpful because it, when cold and flu season is happening, and then you think about your students sitting on the carpet, it's gross. But that's okay.
Well put,
that's all,
Mary.
That's all I wanted to say.
We understand.
Anyone else?
Is there an infection control problem?
It's yeah.
Love that we're able to use a local company here.
Yes.
Yes. It's excellent. I do like that. Mm-hmm. We have the roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes. Mr. Van-Washinova.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes. And the motion passes. Generator Project Custer, Mrs. Shook.
Thank you, President Zimmerman. Tonight we are asking the board to move to accept the bid of $474,417 from Romanoff Electric of Toledo, Ohio, for the new generator and electrical service rework at Custer 1 and Custer 2 elementary schools and reject all other bids. The Building and Site Sinking Fund would provide the funding for this project.
Can we get a motion?
I'll move to accept the bid of $474,417 from Romanoff.
Support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, could we have a roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes. Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Van-Washinova.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. Concrete walk replacement, Monroe High School, Mrs. Shook.
Thank you again, President Zimmerman. Tonight, we're also asking the board to move to accept the bid of $113,430 and unit price U1 at $22,705 from Krakoff Lenaway of Adrian, Michigan, for replacement of the concrete walk at C Wing at Monroe High School. The Building and Site Sinking Fund will provide funding for this project. And the total amount of those two items is $136,135 for the good of the board.
Can we get a motion?
So moved.
Support?
Support.
Any discussion?
I just want to let everybody know that it sounds like we're just voting yes on this stuff, but it really, we did a discussion on this at the previous work session, so that's why we don't have a whole lot of comment on it. We do take spending this money seriously, so.
And most of us have been out the buildings and saw what the concrete's like, so.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It makes it sound like we're just passing it. But
yeah,
not.
No.
Roll call, please, Jamie.
Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Van-Washinova?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes, and the motion passes. Bid pack number 5, 2024 summer work pre-purchase at Monroe High School, Mr. Shaw.
As discussed in our work session, this is for next summer, and this is the pre-purchase of equipment that will take that long to get in stock. And so we're recommending tonight the following, that $300,000 from Monroe Plumbing and Heating Cooling for bid category 23A, $189,630 from Labe Electric for bid category 26A. In addition, move to increase the construction contingency fund by $48,963. The total bid package number five approval is not to exceed $538,593. Financing for this bid package number five will come from the 2020 bond building and site fund.
Can I get a motion?
I'd move to accept the bid package number five.
Support.
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call please, Jamie.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mrs. Janowashinova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. That brings us to the HES contract. Mr. Shaw.
So the HES contract and even the first vehicle are both very similar that are in front of you tonight. And these are just the two companies have come to us. And we're going to speak first about HES. So HES Facilities Management is requesting a monthly 6% increase on their contract dated March 23rd, 2023. This would be a monthly increase of $7,835, increasing the amount to the total of $138,420 per month for an annual total of $1.6 million. This increase request is an offset of the cost of the exceeded hours estimated in the original contract. It would also allow HES to continue to provide quality services for Monroe Public Schools. This increase is coming in front of you due to, what's the CPI now?
The CPI increases?
Yeah, CPI increase. And so for both of these contracts, it's just a CPI increase because inflation grew mightily during their contracts. So that's the recommendation in front of you tonight.
Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Support?
Support.
Any discussion?
Is there an opening for the contract for the financial part?
They can make a request for a higher increase that is allowable in the contract. The current increase is
they don't have a CPI in the contract or nothing.
No, they had a flat 3.5% increase over the subsequent 2 years of the contract. So in lieu of that, they're asking for 6% because of the CPI increases and inflationary issues.
So that was included in the contract that you could they could ask for more money based on that or not?
Not specifically based on CPI, but it is allowable in the contract to request an additional increase.
Okay.
We didn't specify in there what things would trigger an increase. Like, it would be at the discretion of the company to make a request. Okay.
My other question is, there's two letters in here in the packet. Are they both the same?
There's one for HES and there's one for,
HES and HES. One's dated in a contract addendum. They both have the same date, and one is for a $4,210 increase, and the other one is for $7,835.
I believe the only one that we're considering at this time is the 6% increase of the $7,835.
Nobody liked the other one?
I do not believe that we're considering the other request.
Did they put that? They put that request in? I'm just trying to follow the letters.
Yes, they did make a request to increase this year, which we did not bring that before the board.
So why didn't we choose the lower increase? They're both dated the same day.
The other letter is just for the duration of this year. They wanted an increase mid-year, which we did not bring to the board. We were bringing as of July 1 increase.
Okay. Thank you. Now I'm seeing a different amount. Yeah. I'm like, they look word for word almost. So okay.
They are almost identical, but
right.
The one is mid-year, which we did not bring before the board.
Okay, thank you.
Did we just grant it, or did we just deny their...
No, we did not grant it.
Is this about cost of living increases? Because one of the things it says in here, which makes me concerned about the RFP process, that maybe they underestimated what they needed to do in comparison to other companies, and now we're rewarding it. It says the reason for this increase is to offset the cost of exceeded hours estimated on the original contract.
Yeah. So I can't speak much about last year, because I know that last year the board, the district, had to do a fast change in the cleaning company we were using. And so I can't speak to that bidding process right there. All I know is that Tim has worked diligently with this company on the management side. At the beginning of the school year, we would hear comments from staff. And we have, since November, we haven't heard anything from our staffs. So this company is doing a phenomenal job for us. As far as that level right there, Tim, can you speak at all to some of those adjustments?
Primarily day management, having those folks in hand so that they were always there and accessible to direct people and fill positions, and that we certainly had less call-off where they weren't replacing them or filling them in and subbing those with other people, which that was an increase in some of the hours, which to the presence of that management on the front side when we saw it working that way. So, something we tried and everybody liked it. I'm sure there's multiple principals in here that can attest to the superior product and outcome that we're getting now. So, along with the CPI, I think that drove that.
Yep. So part of the additional hours were at our request.
How long is that contract, Tim?
It's a 3-year, if you don't mind, I can answer.
Yeah.
It's a 3-year contract.
So it goes through
the 24-25 school year, because this was year one, 22-23.
I thought we did it 22?
Because they just started this past July. So this was their first year with them, because we bid 2 years in a row, because the first bid we awarded to a different company, and then we rebid last year.
The recommendation brings us to June of 24.
Okay. Any other discussion? Roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Yes, I would also recommend that they just bring this up and remember it in the next RFP process.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
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 Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes. And the motion passes. First vehicle contract, Mr. Shaw.
So, like our last contract, first vehicle has been with Monroe Public for many years. And so, the first vehicle is requesting a 6% increase in the contract. Starting July 1, 2023 and ending June 30, 2024. This request is due to a continuous increase in parts, supplies, and labor. They are also noticing additional surcharges for goods and services and canceling of purchase agreements for the sole purpose of raising prices. The 6% requested increase would total to be $34,979, increasing the current amount from $582,983 to $617,962. My recommendation is that we grant the 6% increase to First Vehicle Services in the amount of $34,979. Cassie, this contract is up.
This coming, the 23-24 year is the last year of the contract.
Yep.
So there will be a RFP process next year for fleet maintenance services.
I just paid $187 for a car battery because it's the only one they could find available that would take care of things. So I'm going to make a motion to support this.
Can we get a motion?
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
So is this a going trend? That everybody's going to want to come in and want more money. That's what we're. If we keep approving all of these that are not in their contract for approval, but we keep on doing it, are we setting a precedent here?
No,
I just raised 10% on a set of fleet trucks that I service, and that just covers my cost.
Yeah, it's understanding the economy we're in right now, and point of the services will decrease if we don't do something. And when we put out, you know, a three-year contract or some, you're at that, you can adhere to it, we can make them adhere to it, otherwise, or you have to look at it going, things happen. And so, and that escalated cost. And in prior years, when we don't have that, we've not had to make those, they wouldn't come to us because it's been.
In the last 2 years, they did not. They left it at the contractual 2.5% increase from year to year. This is the only year in this contract that they've requested an increase above that.
How many buses do we have now that they're maintaining?
I do not have that off the top of my head.
So we actually do have that answer for you.
Oh,
look at that.
We're actually in conversations right now with the company about that and looking at our routes for next year. So we currently have 60 buses.
Mm-hmm. How many are active?
And that's where we're at. We're looking at the activity level of that, and we may be bringing forth and to reduce that number by about 10 to 15 buses.
So how many will we actually have on the road?
So currently right now we have 18 regular runs, and I believe it's like 8 student special needs runs. And the other practice that they do is about with those 18 buses, those buses run Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Then there's another 18 buses that run the opposite days just to keep it like their spares. Okay, and so what we're looking at is for next year, the hiring of more drivers, obviously, so we can look at getting to a two-tiered system to reduce costs, create consistency in our deliveries of our students. And then at the same time, this year, we're going to be really looking at closely how we do transportation and is there other ways that we can curb that cost. And we've been doing budget meetings at our buildings and talking to them about what this next year looks like, but really what the next 2 to 3 years look like. And so at for transportation, there's going to be lots of conversations around our fleet and methodologies of our fleet there and how many should we keep, you know, on hand.
But if there's 18 runs and 18 alternate runs, that's only 36.
So 36, but then you have 10 special education buses. Gotcha. So that puts you at 46. That's what I'm talking about. Looking at getting rid of about 15 buses.
Okay. Does that include the three vans that we have, or is that not?
These are just buses.
Just the buses.
Yep. Yeah, we actually, I think it was yesterday that Cindy and I actually started tearing into the numbers from the first vehicle.
Yep. So we don't need to buy buses that gets us bottom line.
No.
Okay.
No.
No.
All right.
They just need batteries.
Batteries.
No. What I wanted to bring clarity out there. No, we don't need to buy buses at this time, but we do need to be thinking proactively about how we do our fleet and the maintenance of our fleet and where we're spending the money on our fleet. And so that's why I said there's more to come in the next few months on our fleet.
Does First Vehicle also do our trucks?
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
All maintenance.
Yeah. All vehicles.
Yeah. Okay.
Roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. The resolution for the Monroe County ISD proposed budget, Mr. Shaw.
So as I shared in our work session annually, boards of education in each county across the state of Michigan need to either approve or not approve their ISD budgets. And if you choose to not approve the ISD budget, you have to give rationale for the non-approval of that budget. And as you know, in our county, we have worked with our ISD. We've come a long ways with them. And so it is our recommendation that we approve their ISD budget for the 23-24 school year.
Can I get a motion?
I move we approve the ISD budget.
Support?
I'll support that.
Discussion?
I know they made a complaint against us last year. Has that ever been resolved? Or
we've done a lot of work in that area.
Okay.
What was that?
They made a complaint against us with the state.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
roll call, please, Jamie.
Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. ISD election. Mr. Shaw.
Okay, so at our next Board of Education meeting, and actually at our work session, we'll have to go through and present to you two candidates for the ISD board. And currently, they have two seats up. And at that time, we'll have a conversation around that. The board then at the next, at the meeting after, will take action to support two candidates and also take a nomination of whom they're going to send to the June 5th Board of Education meeting at the ISD, which is one of you will go and then cast that vote for those two members that our Board of Education has selected. And so I'm just giving you the notice that at our next work session, everyone should be here, because if you're not here, you may be going to the June 5th meeting.
No, we already delegated that to someone.
I was going to say, that's what I'm thinking.
Is, is that one already been delegated out there?
That's already
okay.
Delegated.
Well, beautiful. So, but at that next, at that work session, we'll go through those names. Be looking for, from us, as soon as ISD gets it to us, candidate profiles and resumes of that, so you can look at who is running, and then during the work session we'll have a conversation there and then seek a motion in our regular meeting for that appointment.
Do you know whose seat is up or whose seats are up?
Yep, so Dale DeSlover's seat is up and Russell Bliss's seats are up.
So
who's running against him?
Right. So the candidates, so they're both will be rerunning, and then I think it's Rita Bennick, and then Jason Young.
Benicki,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Rita.
Rita.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jason. Yeah, yep. Sure. So those are the four candidates for. But like I said, you'll end up getting more information as far as.
So Dale's was traditionally our candidate.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
Oh, we have a candidate?
Well, he's from Monroe.
All four of them are Monroe Public School residents. Yeah.
Rita.
Oh, is it Rita?
Rita,
yep.
She just retired last year.
Yep.
She just retired.
Yep. So all four are, yep. And that's why I said, you'll see information coming. Just come into the work session that will be on that agenda, and we'll have a conversation right there. But the board will need to nominate, pick two, and there'll be a resolution so that then when you're going to the June 5th. Is that who it is?
Mike, you're looking at me.
I'm not sure which one it is.
No,
so
I'm good with that.
June 5th, we'll then go and represent our Board of Education, and
we got it covered.
So. Okay, up next, bullying practice prevention update.
So,
Mr. Shaw.
From our last meeting, I wanted to update everyone on what we know. So, and going to, first I'm going to start with, remember that bullying is something that we need to really define out there so everyone understands what it is and what it is not. And also that it's something that we have to work on together. It's not a Monroe Public Schools issue. It's not a student issue. It's not a parent issue. It's all of us together need to address it. But I want to get into things that we have learned and from both the students and our, we sat down with our administrators. And so when we sat down with our K-12 administrators, we got into just a real deep conversation. And that conversation was very helpful, and to the point where I'm going to just highlight a handful of items that we're already diving into. First areas would be is this. Again, messaging out what is bullying and what is not. And that key is the repeatedness of it. Because many times what we hear is that my child is being bullied, and they're being bullied. And what we've learned is actually it's just a single situation that happened with one person. That's not bullying. That's just that isolated incident, so it needs to be addressed in that manner. The other piece, and I appreciate we have administrators here tonight, because we talked about was the idea that we need to close the circle and really working hard to close the circle. And what happens is we get busy. And when you're in our buildings or see stuff, you'll know that things get busy. But the idea of closing that circle, and we took that closing the circle to a higher level, and it's like this. Student A, student B, student A is bullying student B. We uncover that has happened, we can prove it, and that did occur. The closing of the circle is the parents being called of student A, sharing what happened. We can never get into who did it and or the discipline that was handed out, but the key factors that we would do is share that, and this is a common thread, and we're practicing what it's going to be, is, and I'm going to give you a picture of it, is that you call the parent and say, this is what has happened. Understand that we have documented in PowerSchool what happened to your child. Know that we can't disclose who it was, but that person's name is in our system and has been documented as bullying. And know, too, that we start out as a level one of discipline, which is the parent, student, and administrative conversation, all the way up to recommendation of expulsion to the board. Know that your child is in that continuum. Know, too, that if further bullying occurs, that we will address it, and that child will continue to move up that scale. The key that we have to have, though, is when something happens, your child has to report to us. The follow-up circle is then the person B that did the bullying is this exact same phone call, and making the parents completely aware of what has happened, and then providing advice there. The follow-up is our student that was bullied, we will then work with student services to make sure that we're providing anything extra that's needed, so that if it was a verbal bullying and or if it was a physical, that we're services are being provided in our building. And that's that closing of that circle, so that all parents know this. The other part is if a report is given to a building, that because we have an online bullying report that can be provided, that bullying report then is also loaded into PowerSchool as part of the investigation, and then a communication again back full circle to the parents that we are aware of this and we're trying to find out more information right there. The things that we do is check-in and check-outs. You know, we offer our kids the ability to, on all their Chromebooks, they can go into the help and put a communication in. They can do things online, a note. When I met with students today, we talked about, well, needing their help on what other forms of communication do they want to use to make us aware. The other parts are is just that training. Annual training for all students, staff, parents on bullying, and so that identification. And I was really, when the administrator made that comment, like, you know, we need to do this, like, every year, people that are certified in CPI, they get recertified. And it just, that rung true right there. Having a common language. The other one is getting into our handbook, and so we're going to be working on our student handbook, and we'll be inviting parents to assist us on that student handbook. And the big part becomes is how to communicate out what we have done. And so this summer, one of the tasks that Wendy has already been made aware of that she'll have is to take our student handbook and take out key components of it. And so it's almost like an idea of like a first semester, second semester. And so that very first week in our week in review, it's just a one pager that talks about this. And then guess what? For 30 weeks in a row, or 25 weeks in a row, boom, we're putting out 25 different communications. Then it starts all over again for the rest of the year. So there's a constant feed going out, and it's really breaking down what is in our handbook so that our parents are aware. And so we saw it as a positivity. The other part being, too, is that one of our administrators came to me after because I said, you know, we really need to start teaching our kids how to be nice to each other. And the administrator and I met afterwards, and it really became more of a focus around kindness and a kindness campaign. So not being, being more proactive in what we do. Today when I met with, then one other item, and I'm not going to get into it was brought up about bathrooms in our school district. And so know that there will be a recommendation coming to the board here very soon once we get quotes on bathrooms. And then we're also looking at our transportation with our buses and what we do there. And so more to come on that side of it. But I want to take a couple moments, though, on the conversations we had with our students today. These three students, the level of courage, and I'm going to start with the most heartwarming part of the conversation. So these three students have probably, things have happened throughout their life, and what they recognized was that kids, when they go home, they might not be going home to a great situation. And they talked about what happens, you know, kids being bullied and or the bully. And they were concerned about the communications that we, you know, that when we call home. You know, for example, I'm calling Larry's dad, I'm saying, hey, this is going on. But in Larry's home, there's a whole lot of stress at night. And Larry may have been the victim or the bully. And when these kids were talking today and sharing this, it really hit home because even though things may have happened in their life, they recognized that some of those students that are being bullies are actually doing that because maybe their parents are bullying them. And they literally said that. And said that they might be coming in and doing that just because they were so upset because of what had happened to them at home. And or to keep face with their parents, they have to do this. And I found that to be just a very interesting thing because the students I met with today, they're not the bullies. You know, they don't bully kids. They were describing that. And so that level of compassion, it struck me as we start to really analyze and think about how we work with our families and with our students, that it's not perfect for every single child. And we have to recognize that and recognize the families. You know, what the kids were really, other things they were talking about today was that they just wanted to see consistency, understanding that parents may be worse at home to people who bully others. Like I said, I talked about that one there. One of the students said, you know, that once we've already kind of identified a student that might have been bullied, to that they have peer groups. And so what else needs to happen right there? So they're bringing ideas to the table. Oddly enough, so I asked them, social media, verbal, physical, three forms of bullying. So which one is the most prevalent? So to my seven board members, which one do you think it is?
Social media.
Nope.
Really?
I thought so too.
So what is it?
Verbal.
Really? Hmm. Is that verbal through social media and text message?
No. It's just the walking in the halls or being on the playground. They really viewed that the verbal was the most difficult to get through because it stays with you forever. They said the physical, you know, the one person said, she goes, I could heal within 3 days, you know, from it. Okay. And so, but the idea that it was the verbal, but the kids actually enlightened us onto more as we continue to walk this out about what we start to really look at doing next year. And so that was my first group of three today. More groups to go meet with at the middle school, go to the high school. We'll be meeting with upper elementary students there. It was a big help. But I just wanted you to know that we recognize things that we're going to continue to, we're going to do and raising it up right there. And at the same time that we need to ask for parents and students to step alongside of us because we can only do what when we know. And that's why one of the things I did remind the students of, I said, what you need to help us understand, and I'm going to keep posing this question, they didn't answer for it to me today, was there's an assumption that we know as adults that it's happening. So and I use an example when our students did their walkout and sat down in the middle school. And they pointed out that two students were doing something. And they go, look, it's happening right here. I'm standing right there between. I could not see what was happening. Mm-hmm. And in that understanding of that, as adults, we may see it and catch it. And if we can, we're going to deal with it. But there's sometimes kids are sneaky and we're not going to pick up on it. But like I said, today, that's what we've learned right here. So more to come with this. Lots of communication, but it was a very, one other point is that it was really suggested by the administrators that we bring in that trainer, so bring in an outside party, you know, to do this work with us, to not have it done internally, but to bring somebody else in. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kudos to them for saying that. So any questions from board members on where we're at right now, and what we've learned and where we're going?
Yes. So when you were talking with the students today about the forms, the format of how they would like to address bullying, report bullying, what were the students saying about that?
They didn't have an answer yet, so mm-hmm. I'm pushing that question, and I've got their names on, so they know I'm coming back.
Okay.
And that's where I'm just drilling down, because that was what we had heard, is that they don't see the systems that we put together as adults working. So it's like, okay, well, right. You need to help us come up with systems that will work. And so they didn't give me any resolve to that today. So that's what we're challenging our kids to do, is, well, help us solve what that could be there.
Okay. And then in my opinion, instead of it being an annual training, it should be intensive ongoing training throughout the year, not just for faculty staff, but it should also be pushed out to students on a regular basis.
Oh, yes.
And home to families on a regular
yeah.
basis.
No, and that's when we talk about that training, it is for all.
Okay.
Okay? It's not, it's the parents, it's everybody.
Yeah.
And it's even the, like we talked about too, that positive side of things too.
It sounds like you got a good plan going, Andy. I mean, put a lot of thought into this, obviously, and we've got some action plans in here. So, I mean, and it's a difficult problem. I mean, I agree with you, but at least we're working on it. So kudos to you and your team.
Well, it's, you know, just sitting and listening to the students today, it really helped. Listening to our students 2 weeks ago. And so are there some, I think, you know, it'll never be exactly perfect. We have to realize what's going on with each child there. But it's really helping. It's understanding, like, we all have a different toleration level, right? And we have to understand whose toleration level is where it sits. And based on even, like, what situation, too. And so there's more to it. But when the K-12 principals and all of us sat together and had that conversation, it was truly a heartfelt conversation. Like, okay, we've got to get in here and really figure it out. But like, I just keep going back to though, it'll take all of us to recognize and work together.
If I may, Andy, I want to thank you first of all, because I truly believe you're driving cultural change with faculty, staff, and with students, and being proactive. I want to throw this out as well. I think that a lot of bullies, and I've been dealing with this a lot lately, it's very dear to my heart. A lot of bullies don't think they're bullies. They think they're teasing. Other friends jump on, and they're teasing. Mm-hmm. And there's this something that happens within the culture of friends where mm-hmm. they think it's okay. And I think we really need to, and I will gladly help out in any way you see fit, but we really need to help students to identify bullying behavior in themselves and others. I have never had, and I've had several cases at the college level of bullying, I have never sat down with someone who came in and said, yep, I was bullying. There was always a defense behind it. Hmm. And so I just really encourage exactly what you were talking about, just ongoing intensive training where we're helping students to identify in themselves and others the behaviors and how it escalates and so forth, and a willingness, the skill set, this is what I think is missing mm-hmm. with a lot of kids, to call each other out in mm-hmm. an appropriate
yeah.
way.
Good point. I appreciate you reminding me of that, because two districts ago, that was actually one of the things that we worked on with our kids, was that how to talk to others and say when she's doing something to me and I don't like it, how do I let her know that without saying, stop it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because when I holler, stop it, or don't, it escalates it.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I appreciate
you
reminding me.
The irony is you're in trouble.
What's that?
And the irony is you're in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That's a good point, so Scott.
That's great. Something like
Andy, we know students are very hesitant sometimes to report, particularly up to the teachers or administrators.
Yep.
Have you seen an increase in like the last 2 weeks of students actually coming forward and being more open to reporting bullying?
So what we've seen is, and Terry, I know you've received your fair share of phone calls, is the reports online. Mm-hmm. That has got moved up
okay.
there.
Good.
But it's still what I'm seeing is a mixture between students and parents reporting, like with Norsey. It's just instead of only having maybe one or two a week there, that number's increased, but the ratio of parents and students reporting, it's still roughly the same there.
Okay. Can they report anonymously?
Yes.
So I also want to applaud taking on this issue. We talk about safety a lot, and this is a big component of safety within the schools. Did we do an analysis, or did you do an analysis looking at what protocols we had in place that were effective or were not effective? I mean, bullying processes have been in place, anti-bullying in the schools for, I don't know, I'm not ancient, but since, you know, I was around, did we look and see and say, okay, if we're identifying this as being an exacerbated problem that's being brought to the forefront right now, were there any processes that were in place that were operable and working, and which ones weren't? Or are we just kind of starting over?
No, we're not starting over. So a lot of the things that were listed, and there'll be more information coming your direction about what we do as far as either trainings in buildings and or systems that buildings have, what we learned is how we just need to enhance these. So some of the consistency that we were hearing was that nothing is done.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's a communication breakdown. And so that's where, so we understand that, okay, nothing's being done, but that means we're not communicating that something is being done. And then that documentation. And understanding that, and that's why I said we've listened to a lot of people. I've listened to you guys around the idea of, like, to that level of documentation. To Scott's point, some bullies don't even realize they're doing it, but it's identifying students there. But that deep-rooted side of, like, things weren't we doing? Nope, we were already doing a lot of good stuff, but what we uncovered was we need to just listen to the kids a lot more here on it, and so now we're really listening closely to what they're saying. We would have never believed that some of our ways of communicating to us weren't working, because we felt like, okay, there's multiple ways you can do it where nobody would know you're communicating to us there, and yet they're saying that's not working. And so that's why I said we've understood that side of it. But then we started to say, well, where do we need to get to, though? And that's where it's back to the training, it's back to the communication, it's back to stronger systems there, and
effective means of reporting that are easily accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, even to the point where we uncovered in our own system where we keep things, the documentation, okay, so that we can track. Like, okay, well, that was even uncovered. And so there was things that we learned from it right there, and so now it's just we're doing. And so I think the biggest thing I want everyone to understand too is that we're all going to need a fresh start. We're not saying that bullies get a fresh start, okay? I'm not saying that. But as we make and move forward, going back and saying, well, you didn't do anything 2 years ago, well, that doesn't help. We're doing it now. We're here now. Okay, we're moving forward now, and I think that's the message we want to share is that we need a fresh start, and we're right here. But the power is in those kids, and that's why, like I said, today, after all that we've been through these last few weeks, be able to sit down for 45 minutes with our middle school principal and these three students was very helpful.
Would you mind utilizing your presentations from schools a few times to bring forth some initiatives so schools would come forth and present some of their initiatives on anti-bullying to the board?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or that'd be great. I'd like to see some great practice.
Yeah.
How about do like us?
Delegates can bring some of that information
to us. I like that
too.
Yeah.
I would also say that not just training about the bullies and the victims, but also the bystanders, people who are seeing it happen and not doing anything, or maybe they see a bully do what they're doing, and they jump in. And so now it's crowdsourced, problematic. But, yep. You know, we are teaching our students about grit and resilience and growth mindset and mm-hmm. positive peer culture.
Yep.
So we've got a lot of great things going for us. We just need to make sure that it's applying to all genres.
Well, and it's not just the bullying side. It's looking at anything that's going on that shouldn't be happening in a building, okay? And having our kids be courageous. And I know that we hear people will say that, well, if my child did that, you know, there's going to be repercussions of it. Like, no, we got to teach that perseverance right there. And that's why I appreciate what you were saying is how we have to just continually teach our students on how to address things that's happening and just be courageous. Mm-hmm. And when something happens, give it to us. And so what you're going to see is...
We have a lot of social-emotional support in the schools now. So it's a great time to utilize that.
Yes. Agreed.
Did you ever think of doing like SurveyMonkey or some kind of online survey that all students could give an input into to aggregate more more input from... There's thousands of students in the system.
So we haven't gone to that point yet. It's, be just blunt, honest, it's time. You know, the amount of time to actually create that survey right now, or can we go out and find it, and that it's a useful one. I appreciate it. I hadn't thought about, you know, how we can get that done right here as we're looking at it. But we'll find out there if there's... We can't... What I'm saying right now is...
I was just thinking like a Survey Monkey with a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Keep it an input. That way all students have input into the process, into the system. They have an opportunity to speak.
And bullying is not a new topic. I mean, bullying has been all around for, hey, I'm 50 years old. It's been around for at least that long, for sure. So there's a lot of documentation. There's a lot of research already out there. We could use another survey that's already been developed. Maybe push it out to Chromebooks and get some input from students. What they're seeing, what they feel, what they think. How can we change?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Nope, we will begin tomorrow. Maybe that went out.
So. Good suggestion.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. We have no old business items?
No, we have one new item. We added.
So, you did.
Yeah. So, and this is just discussion. So, in your, you had a handout given to you about the emergency evacuation parent transfer agreement. I just want to take a moment and just share it. You're going to read it, and then please, it was just handed out to you here a few minutes at the beginning of the meeting.
Not yet.
So, it's in your stack there. Oh, I'm sorry. Jamie's handing it out.
Coming.
My apologies.
You wanted me to serve.
Coming.
I know. So, the hospital needs to have a plan for if something bad happens in the area, and bad means like the power plant, okay, and or something catastrophic at the hospital. They need a place to go. So they have to have an agreement to do that. So what I want to do is kind of walk you through some things to not get lost on. So, for example, the first one would be don't worry about the date they had to start. I want to show it there because they got it to us late, but the next part B is it's Mercy Memorial Hospital Corporation. Don't get lost on the name because it's ProMedica over there. They had to keep that name due to tax reasons, okay? So that's why it's there. And that was when I talked to the hospital today on that. When we go through, some of it's just lawyer jargon that needs to be in here. Our responsibilities are pretty simple. The gymnasium at the high school, and when patients they're bringing patients over, electronics, they're probably coming with paper documentation right there, and so we have to be able to supply them a secure location to put it, because technology will probably be down at that point in time is what they're assuming. So they're going to be using the gymnasium. They'll have doctors and nurses in there, but they just need a secure location for any kind of materials that may be brought. Now, what I want to remind you of is if we're in that situation with the hospital, something bad has happened majorly in the area. Mm-hmm. And so they just need to have a place to go. And it's kind of like as we look at our protocols and where we go if we're doing an evacuation, we have agreements also with where we go and expectations there. So what I want you to do is read through this. If you have any questions, please get them to me. I'm going to bring it back to you at the meeting here in May. But I need those questions sooner so I can talk to the hospital and get to any clarity that might need to be had, okay? So any questions on that part of right now? Cool. All right. That's all I have for new business.
Superintendent comments, Mr. Show.
Okay, just a couple of things. First and foremost, thank you to everyone that went out and voted. We truly appreciate the support on the non-homestead millage and the sinking fund. The showcase, Young Entrepreneur Showcase, that was phenomenal. For anyone that was able to get out there and see it, our kids did a phenomenal job with it. Spectacular summer semester is, registration is underway. So encourage kids to get out there. Wednesday, May 17th is a half day of school coming up. And then you have a whole list of district events happening beginning the 11th forward for the rest of the year. So don't lose, you're gonna, I believe this is already in your hands there. So that's all I have for comments tonight.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
For those
yes.
of us that need help organizing our lives.
Well, yeah, where we're going each night.
Yeah.
Each day. Yes.
Next up is public commentary. Any topic? Darrell?
Yeah, thank you. Now it's time for public commentary. I will call your name forward. You will each have 3 minutes to give your comment. We appreciate you're here, and we appreciate you taking the time to share your concerns and comments with us. I am the timekeeper, so I will give you a notice 1 minute in to kind of help you keep track of your time. I will also give you a 30-second countdown, and then I'll give you a wrap-up and see if you can close up your comments, okay? We appreciate your time, and I'll call you up as they came into my hands, okay?
Darla, one item on that. Due to student rights and employee rights, please, no employee names or student names can be given if you are making comments.
Oh, and I should also let you know that at this time, we don't really have time to address your concerns and comments right now, but we do take them and we will respond, and Andy does a great job of responding by the next meeting. So just so you know, that's why we don't talk back. All right, Jamie, and I am sorry I'm going to say your last name wrong. Farinars?
Very good. Okay.
Oh,
very good. Not many people get that.
Okay. Yes, my name is Jamie Farinars. My son is a freshman at Monroe High School, and he plays on the JV ball team. Alex was subject 2 weeks ago to two assaults at the hands of a team member. I'll give you the timelines of everything. On Tuesday, April 25th, he came home from practice. He couldn't eat dinner. He complained of a headache, dizziness, and nausea. We attributed it to a busy schedule. He didn't offer us any other explanation, so we sent him up to showers and bed. The very next day, was Wednesday, April 26th, Alex texted me several times throughout the day complaining of a bad headache. It is rare for Alex to get headaches, so I started to pry. He finally admitted to me that he was hit in the head with a hard object at practice the day before by a teammate. At the end of the school day, my husband brought Alex Tylenol to help with the head as the team was leaving for an away game. When Alex approached him, he was visibly distressed and he was very upset. Sorry, I'm saying my son's name. I don't know if that matters. He reported to my husband that only minutes before, while in the locker room getting ready for the game, the same teammate who had hit him the day before choked him out, causing him to black out. He woke up on the floor. And he came out, reported this to my husband. He went to the game as is required by a teammate or by a team member. The next day, I took him to his doctor. He was diagnosed with a concussion, whiplash, and an inner throat injury affecting his swallowing ability and his ability to move his neck. He was immediately put on restriction from baseball, gym class, and any rigorous testing in class. A police report was filed and a PPO was granted to Alex. On Friday, May 5th, I was contacted by the health liaison at MHS to alert me that Alex had had an episode during fifth hour and an ambulance and fire rescue were on their way. When I arrived, he was in extreme distress, shaking, rocking back and forth, breathing very heavily, couldn't sit still. It was reported he blacked out during class, and upon coming to, he couldn't move the left side of his body. He was in half paralysis. He was placed on a stretcher and transported by ambulance to the ER at Toledo Hospital. It was determined that the episode was directly related to the injuries he received at the hands of his teammate. The student who assaulted him those 2 days in a row received, from what I've understood, a suspension from school and from the baseball team. He is back in school this week and is allowed to be back on the baseball team. I don't believe MPS can legitimately claim to be a zero-tolerance school and then let this student back into his extracurricular activities and around the other student body. What happened to our son can clearly be defined as bullying and hazing according to the athlete student code of conduct that all the athletes sign when they join a team. And that can be referenced in Section 5 of the student-athlete code of conduct. The perpetrator clearly broke the code of conduct for MPS athletes, and it appears that the rules are being bent. We have a guideline, and I'm wondering why they are not being followed, and how are parents to feel safe sending their kids to school when this kind of event occurs?
Thank you so much. Rick? I said it right the first time. I questioned myself.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm just going to piggyback on what my wife said. If violent hitting a teammate in the head and then choking him out is not an act of bullying or violence, then what is? My son's life has been adversely affected by the victim of these assaults. He is depressed. He's quick to anger at home. He's jumpy and very skittish around people, including our family. He has been unable to resume normal activities due to his ongoing injuries. He can't play with his team. He is not supposed to be testing in school, which he has been. He also cannot accumulate his hours for driver's ed. Due to the nature of his injuries, everything he normally does has come to a screeching halt, including attending baseball practices, which he refused to attend today because the attacker was back. In addition, we are seeking out specialty health care and therapy to help him through this. This has affected not only him, but physically, but mentally. It has also affected our family life and affected us financially while getting him treatment. There is no way my son should have to suffer all of these while his attacker goes back to a normal life. We are asking how this student is being allowed to return to school sports now or going forward at MPS due to having clearly broke the student athlete code of conduct. Our son hasn't been able to resume normal activities or being an active teenager. To expect him to watch his attacker resume normal activities while only add to his mental distress. Our son now fears going to school every day and going to baseball practice. He's uncomfortable. He would like to be not only comfortable at school, but be able to represent Monroe High School in athletics and a return to school in his right but rejoining an extra activity is a privilege. Oops, sorry. But being able to return to his sport without having to look over his shoulder. To allow my son's attacker to return to school in his right, but rejoining an extracurricular activity is a privilege, not a right. My son earned the privilege through good behavior, good grades, and hard work. It's certainly not a privilege a student deserves after taking it away from my son with these attacks.
Thank you so much. Denise Brooks.
I'm Dr. Denise Brooks. As you can see, I only have a few items to talk to you about. I wanted to talk on the bullying also. And I looked up, the dictionary describes a bully as someone who is habitually cruel, insulting, or threatening. It is hurting and traumatizing to the student who has been bullied over a course of 2 years. And it's even killing our kids. The bullying, kids that are bullied, many of the kids that come up back and shoot up schools are bullies. I mean, I don't have statistics on that, but when you read every time about a school being shot up, it's generally because the kid was bullied. Not that he's a bullier, he was bullied. Bullying can't be acceptable anymore. It's it needs to be treated. And some of the bullying is not only just bullying, it's assaulting. And we can't look at it anymore like it used to be as, you know, endured, oh, they'll get through it. It's damaging kids not only physically but psychologically. And Mr. Shaw, I have a student that would love to talk to you about it if he can be assured that what he says to you is confidential. And, you know, bullying, whether it's being hit with a bat, being choked, kicking, pinching, whatever, those are bullying actions. And a lot of it is verbal also. You know, calling kids names. I've seen what a bully can do to a student's self-esteem. It angers me that this can continually go on and other people can't notice that it's happening. I mean, not other people, but teachers or principals or coaches, that they can't see that this is going on over and over. And in one particular instance, it's the second year of it. I'm amazed that, you know, it hasn't been seen. Okay, you know, when students, you know, they have a code of silence. Even if they're seeing something being done, they're not going to say, you know, if they're interviewed, they might say something, but with just, you know, they're not going to go to an authority figure and say, I saw this. They're going to keep quiet. They're not, you know, and we, you know, according to your own bullying policy, this shouldn't be taking place. I would like to see a committee of parents, along with administrators, and students who have been bullied, take part in this. And, you know, as far as zero tolerance, nobody's listening, not to the students.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We appreciate your comments. Nicholas Barron. Barnars. I don't know how I said it right the first time.
So I am going to be addressing the situation with bullying as well, and I'd like to thank you guys for your time. Start off by saying less than a month ago, our community was stunned by the tragedy that one of our own had taken their own life due to this situation. And in moments of great tragedy, it is imperative of our leaders to step up and say, enough is enough. However, in these past few weeks, in my family's correspondence with Monroe High School, Monroe Public Schools, in regards to bullying, I can almost certainly say that that has not been the case involving my family's unfortunate situation involving bullying and even physical assault. I've watched my brother go through the worst time of his life in the past couple of weeks because his life has changed. He has gone from this excitable, silly, bubbly, active young man to quiet, lonely, fearful. He is fearful to play the sport that he has played since he could walk. He is fearful to go to school. He's fearful to leave the house because of getting bullied and being hurt. I've witnessed this as a brother, as a mentor, and as someone who believes that firm action should be taken, especially because of what has happened recently. And I would like to express my disappointment with the laissez-faire attitude that has been taken in correspondence with administrators in regards to the situation. And it is disappointing to me because in times of tragedy, it is important for leaders to stand up and do what's right for the community. And unfortunately, in regards to bullying, I feel that this has not happened yet. And as an alum, As someone who went to Monroe Public Schools for 13 years, from Manor to the middle school, all the way up to high school, it's reprehensible that bullies are allowed to get away with this stuff. And it seems as though sometimes the victims are the ones who have to go through a living nightmare just to have their voices heard. I don't want this story to repeat itself. I do not want more statistics, and which is why it's imperative that we need to clamp down on bullying now, and we need to clamp down on it hard to ensure that we are not the next Fox News, CNN, big story on who's to blame for this situation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sean Farley. Shauna. I caught the A, I'm sorry.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for taking your time and talking about this issue. I wanted to say first and foremost, wow, hit with a bat and choked with throat damage, and then having to sit next to somebody. You're in the same class, in the same team. As a survivor of trauma, I could not imagine, and many of you, I'm gonna guess, have been survivors of trauma also, because it is very prevalent, and there is PTSD involved, and we need to take this into consideration, because had I been choked and hit with a bat, and then told to go play a team, that would seem very upsetting. And, you know, so I just wanted to get that out of the way. And I agree with Shaw, because hurt people, and that's the basic thing. But we gotta remember that, you know, all the kids need help. They need the resources. They need the people to stand up with them. But what we need to realize, this isn't bullying. This is full-on assault. Yeah. And this child may have lasting issues with this, and it breaks my heart. And I think it is a very good reason why you need bully children, you need parents, you need the school staff. We need everybody to come together and start talking with these tough conversations and accept some responsibility as parents, as a community, and become unified on this. And one of the ways that we can do this is by setting a precedence. Guess what? You do that? No. This child that got attacked gets to sit in his class, but maybe you need to be taken out from your peers that you are bullying around and have another class. There needs to be where if I come to you and I say, Joe did this to me, I know you're gonna do something, because if you don't, you're risking me. And that's what these kids see. You could talk about a code of silence, that's it. And furthermore, I'm going to look at my notes, but I wanted to end with like saying this. Do we make our students feel safe, heard, believed, and a commitment of respect for all people, regardless of their gender, race, disability, size, wealth, because that falls on us? Are we swift in our response when students come to us? Are we role models? Do we believe in listen, act, and unite? And I know that one of you guys talked about that. It's called upstander. That's what it is. When a child sees, a child feels that they can unite, they stand up. They're called upstanders. And yes, we need that strength in our students, but we need it first most of all in ourselves. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. That concludes our public commentary for this evening.
That brings us to board member commentary. Do we have any?
I would like to start with all of the conversations, the discussions that we had earlier in the board meeting. I would be curious if it would be in our best interest to look at our school improvement vision, which right now we have goals regarding reduction of suspensions. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at it through a lens of reducing suspensions, maybe we should look at it through a lens of how effectively we respond to incidences of bullying, reports of bullying, instead of looking at just like a numeric, we reduced suspensions.
I would agree with that.
And then just as a different concern, We were provided a letter of resignation today, and in that letter of resignation, I am very concerned that for our adults that we employ, that we do not have an inclusive workspace, that people feel safe to be themselves without having to fear racist remarks and things of that nature. So I would be very interested to see, to review if we have policies regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion, and making safe workspaces for people of all demographics in Monroe Public Schools.
I will second that, and with that case, if it has not been fully investigated, it needs to be.
What case?
With it's the person who resigned.
Oh, okay.
It's the first resignation in tonight's.
Yeah. It's page 42 in our
42. Yep.
In our book for tonight.
Anyone else? Darla?
Your first topic.
Oh, talking about our school improvement goals, and instead of talking about suspension numbers, talking about how we could have possibly integrate some accountability for responses to bullying.
I totally support that statement, because we have been addressing the discipline process. We have been discussing the discipline process as a board. And this new board, I call it a new board because there's been a lot of new members on the board recently, has taken that very seriously lately. We brought that topic up. We want that addressed. And I would like to concur with Mary that be brought to the forefront, that the board looks into the discipline process as well, because it plays a role in all of it.
Anyone else? Motion for adjournment?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Show of hands. And this concludes the agenda for this evening. The Monroe Public School Board of Education for May 9th, 2023.